chillin', Anna. You were here about the eliminating of the negative and an accent on a positive.
Gather round me, chillin', if you're willing, and sit tight while I start reviewing.
Test. Is this thing on? Oh, yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast, The Joyful Frugalista. And now here's your host, Serena Bird and friends.
Hello, Frugalistas, and welcome. Today I have a very special guest and a good friend, Beck Cazillo. Welcome, Beck.
Thank you. So great to be here.
Well, thank you for coming on. Beck is a really interesting entrepreneur who is forging an extremely unique and independent path. Beck, you started off selling candles, is that right?
That is right. I make them and sell them. I still do. But I've now moved into business coaching and life coaching, running spiritual workshops, a whole bunch of other stuff that when I started out making candles, I would never have thought that I'd be here.
It's amazing. The journey of life, what path you go on that you don't necessarily think is going to lead you to something, but it does when you follow that path and lean into things, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, if you'd told me at the beginning that that's where I'd end up, I don't think it would have unfolded as naturally or in the right way, if that makes sense. You know, you've got to kind of go through that journey to get to that point where you're ready to do that next thing and take that next step.
Exactly. I mean, I love your candles, as you know. I've got several. But I know that because you're a certified angelic Reiki healing, I can just see how much of your focus on the work that you do is on healing as well.
Yeah, and I try and bring that into everything I do. So from the candles that I make, and that was always, I was a Reiki healer before I started making candles. So it kind of started with that. So the candles have always been about that. But that's kind of where this journey's taken me, taking that healing into the life coaching, the business coaching, and my workshops.
It's fabulous. And congratulations too on baby Noah. I can't believe he's 8 months already.
Me either. It's gone so quickly.
How has motherhood changed you?
Oh, look, it's changed me in so many ways, and at the same time, not at all, which is really interesting. I think having a baby in business has been really good for me and my productivity. I am so much more productive than I ever was prior. I have no idea what I spent my time doing.
Contemplating life, reading books.
Yes, possibly.
Finishing a whole cup of coffee or tea.
Yeah, going to the movies maybe.
Going to the movies. I know when I first went back to work, it was amazing, this sense that I could actually read a whole email without getting distracted. Mm. And it was just so quiet.
Yeah.
It was just so quiet. And the sense of impatience I had sometimes at meetings, like going to these meetings where you didn't really know where they were headed. It's like, you know, come on, I've got a million things to do. Tell me what I need to do.
Let's get this done.
Let's go and action things.
I love it. So that's been a really beautiful part of it. And just witnessing a little human learn and all of those wonderful things that come with being a mum. It's been really great.
Dynamic superwoman. Goddess woman, I should say. When most people think of entrepreneurs, they think of men. Why aren't there more women entrepreneurs?
Look, I think it's really interesting because I tend to surround myself with women entrepreneurs, so my whole community seems to be full of them, but I do know what you mean. I think there's been a culture that women have lots of things that come up for them around stepping out and shining their light and doing the things that really light them up, that they want to pursue and have purpose and bring all of their beautiful gifts into this world. I think there's lots of expectations on what a woman is meant to do and what a woman is supposed to look like. And I think that is changing. And I think the women entrepreneurs that we see in this world are changing that and being the leaders in that space. I just think what we need is more women busting through that kind of glass ceiling, I suppose, and taking the risk. I think men are supported by our society and our community to take those risks, and women have less support to do that.
That makes sense, really, because I guess reflecting on my own schooling and particularly going through high school, the consistent message we got from our school principal was that this will stand you in good stead as wives and mothers. And if we all used to laugh at that a little bit because she was actually unmarried, an unmarried career woman herself. So maybe it was aspirational, thinking that she wished something for us that she hadn't achieved herself. But it seemed kind of crazy that we were constantly being told at a private girls' school, this will stand you in good stead as good wives and mothers. And then the secondary fallback was getting high academic marks and going to university and being a doctor or a lawyer. This whole concept of taking risks and doing something that was unique and creative and reflected you wasn't really there.
And I think the nature of work is changing too, and there's not necessarily as clear-cut a path anymore. You know, you go into this career and you'll be in it for 20, 30, 40 years. That's not necessarily what most young people are looking at, and the future of work will often look like part-time work or a business on the side or
the side hustle.
Yes, there's lots of different ways that people are approaching it now, and it's also, and people wouldn't have necessarily known this 20, 30 years ago, but it's so much easier now to start a business from home. The internet has changed the way that people can work, and I think what's really great is that the women entrepreneurs that we're seeing are really innovating in that space. And you'll see people starting businesses and they're in the outback and they're women who are mums at home maybe, and they're like, you know what, there's not much work in this community. I'm going to make work for myself and I'm going to use the internet to do so.
It is amazing to watch. And I guess your testimony to that too, because you're balancing caring for a young baby with having a very thriving, mainly online business now.
Yeah. And I love that I can create my life and my business to suit what's happening. So 8 months ago, before I had my baby, I could have all of the time in the world to focus on things and do things in person and do things online either way. Now that I've got him, I can actually set up my life that supports me to have the time with him, but also have the time that I need for myself and my business. It's a really interesting time to be in business, I think.
It's a really good way of looking at it. As most people are paranoid and upset about the post-bushfires and the virus, it's really good that you have quite a positive view on it. And understand too that you were caught up in the fires a little bit yourself.
Yeah. We were down the coast. My husband's family, his parents live down there, and my parents also have their own property down at the coast, and both properties were affected. The fires came through both of those properties, but both houses are still standing, which is really great. My husband's family lost quite a bit of their property and their gardens and other things on their land, but very lucky to still have the houses because there's quite a few people down there who have lost everything.
It's scary. And you were down there yourself, I think.
Yeah, we were there.
Baby. Noah and hubby. And
yeah, we had to evacuate, went to the beach. Had the fires come through. It was a very bizarre day. And then the follow-on, was quite isolating. And being at the coast, there's only one way in and one way out. You can't, the only place to go is the ocean, really. So, yeah, it was definitely a traumatic day. It took a few weeks, I think, to get over. And I think the whole country really has felt that hangover from the fires. But I think we're seeing some beautiful things come from it, some lots of healing and the communities coming together, which, in an unfortunate situation is always beautiful to see.
It is indeed. And I guess in times like this, it's really easy for people to get really panicky about money.
Yes.
And this is, I think, nationally we really need to be channeling an abundance mindset in big ways to see where that new opportunities can lie through the ashes of what has been.
Yeah, for sure. And I think not buying into the panic and trying to come to a place where we are informed and making informed decisions and not from a place of panic is really important.
So you haven't been stocking up on toilet paper then?
No, that is not what's happening in our household.
You have ample. You have abundance everywhere.
We have an abundance of toilet paper, all that we need.
Well, we're actually looking for toilet paper that weekend. We weren't completely out, but we're at that stage where we felt we needed to stock up on bulk, because we often do, just because it's more cost effective. And we were wandering around Costco going, where's it gone? Have they moved it? Like, what's happening? It was only a few days later that the news started coming out about the national crisis. So it was a bit of a shock for us. But that said, we have ample supplies now. We have ample abundance. We're all fine. We're all good. We're not stocking up on things we don't need. It's an opportunity to go through our cupboards. Beck, I really enjoyed a lot of your courses that I have done and I've been doing. As you know, I did your six-week online feminine fire course that included weekly group coaching calls, which I learned so much about myself through that. It was deeply healing and also deeply empowering, I think, towards the end. And then I've done your Goddess Lakshmi Abundance course with you and your mother, Susie Cherub, last weekend. I was trying to think, it feels like a month ago. It was odd, like after I did that course, it was like I've got this imperative to do all these things. You know, I launched this podcast, I launched a YouTube channel, I launched a new money saving household hacks page on the website. It was like go, 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 go. Amazing. It was crazy. It was amazing. And I'm currently doing your 6-month Ignite the Woman Within masterclass with 7 other amazing women at the moment. And what really strikes me is how these courses tend to come back to the same kind of theme about self-worth. You're nodding here. Why is self-worth so important and so significant, especially for women?
Look, I think for me, I've been teaching all sorts of things, all sorts of spiritual courses over the last 3 years. And what I've discovered through that is everything comes down to self-worth. And for women, I think it's particularly important because we kind of grow up in this society where we're taught that it's not necessarily okay to love ourselves and to necessarily do things that put ourselves out there and put ourselves forward, because it's not okay to do that. It seems selfish, all of these things that we're kind of taught. And that puts into our mindset this idea that we're not worthy of all of these things. And we have this deep-seated belief that we're not worthy of success and abundance and all of these things. And it comes from your family background, the society that we live in, all of these things. And it's a common theme that I see with all of the women that I work with. And so that's why I teach it as such a core principle of all of my courses and workshops and programs, because it's something that stops us as women from moving forward and doing the things that light us up, doing our meaningful work in the world. You know, we're here with a purpose. And if we don't believe that we're worthy of living that, then that will stop us from doing anything that will help us move that forward.
That nagging little voice of self-doubt that goes, oh, you're never going to amount to much. Why try? It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot of hard work. You'll never earn money doing X, Y, Z.
I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not old enough. I don't have enough experience. All of the I'm not enoughs is where that self-worth is really important to help move through those and counter that voice that we all have, but some of us are just better at quietening that voice.
What are some practical steps that people can take to help build on their self-worth?
Yeah, I think there's a whole range of stuff, and I teach a lot of it in my courses. Some things that are really simple to start doing. I really recommend meditation as a key part of developing a relationship with our mind. I think one of the things that we have in this world that we live in that's super fast paced is our brains go at 1,000,000 miles an hour. We don't have an opportunity to stop and recognize the thoughts that we are having. So I think first of all, it's about building in that time where you can just quieten the mind and quieten your fast-moving brain and allow yourself to come into a space where you can recognize and identify those things that are coming up for you. Because that's the first thing. It's about knowing that you have those thoughts and what those thoughts are. So what is it that comes up for you whenever you think about doing something that feels really good and aligned with who you are and what you want to do, but you have that voice that stops you, that self-doubt? What is it? What comes up for you? So that's kind of the first thing I always recommend. It's really learning to come into a relationship with those thoughts, because those thoughts are not truth necessarily, and they're not things that we have to listen to. Often when we hear that voice of self-doubt, we think, oh, okay, well, I can't do that then. And we just, that it stops there.
Exactly. You sort of go, oh, it'll be silly or this, that and the other.
Mm.
And dare I say it, that often the men folk in our lives, while well-meaning, they don't always have that same instinctive voice driving them in terms of what that they could do. And so when you come up as a woman with this radical new idea, sometimes you sometimes you get faced with, oh, no, that's silly, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Which can also compound that sense of lack of self-belief. So I think it's even more important for women who, particularly if they're operating in a very male-centric world, to understand that they have a unique insight and a unique way of looking at things and what they have has value.
Oh, for sure. And I think that is what's going to help us move forward in so many ways in our society, having women step up and be leaders, but lead in a feminine way and lead in a way that values those things that perhaps haven't been valued in our society in the past, like kindness and softness and all of those things that we associate with the feminine, but we don't associate with strength. We think of them as a weakness. I think there's definitely that kind of conscious leadership that's rising with women stepping up into that role of leader.
They're really important qualities. I think we're seeing that need for empathic leadership is really strong on the world stage, and especially in Australia and Australian politics right now.
Mm, yeah, I'd love to see more women stepping up and shining their light in that way. We need more women to do that, because I think that's going to be how we heal from so many things in our society that are really stopping us from moving forward as a country and international community too.
Mm, exactly. Very insightful. Moving from people to stuff, to things, to physical things. As you know, I'm doing a Joyful Giving 366 project this year, the aim of which is to give away at least 366 items in an intentional way, not just dumping things that don't give me joy anymore.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you had any insights about stuff and things. Do they carry energy? How do we surround ourselves with the things that we love?
Yeah, look, everything carries energy. So one of the things that we learn as angelic Reiki healers, for instance, is that that's an energy healing practice. So that's about healing through energy. Everything has energy. Everything is made up of energy, right? But for me, what I like to think about when I think about things and stuff is, what does that mean to you? How does that the stuff in your life make you feel? I teach a lot in my programs about letting go and releasing, and often that's an energetic release, and it's about cutting the cords with the past and those people and all of that sort of thing. But stuff is really important too, and we are often crowded by the stuff in our lives. And so I love that you're giving away things, but with a real intention behind them. I think that's a really beautiful way to do it, because you're right, this kind of movement with we want to get rid of the things that don't bring us joy is a really good thing for us energetically, but also we don't want to be dumping stuff onto charities and people and things that they don't need more stuff, or into landfill.
Well, this is a real issue. And one of the challenges I'm facing is that nearly all of my friends have been inspired, I think, by me, and they're all becoming minimalists, and I try to give them things and they're like, thanks, but I've decided I'm not allowing any new clothes into my home this year or something else. But that said, there's usually ways that you can give in other ways. It doesn't necessarily have to be in the physical. Often it is the listening, the empathy, that being there at key times. Neil, who's sitting in the corner with his headphones on, helping while we record this podcast, he's got a friend at the moment who's been released from hospital with pneumonia. How he's been released, we don't know, because we don't think he should be at home.
Mm.
And I don't use the word should very, very often, but in this case, we don't think so. So Neil's been dropping around to see him every few days to make sure he's okay.
Mm.
I think those sort of things speak much louder than going out to a fancy restaurant, as much as I love fine dining, or giving an expensive gift which is worth a lot of money, as much as I do like things like nice clothing and nice jewellery and bits of bling.
I think that's so important. That's when you know who your real friends are and you know who the important people are in your life, when you have experiences like that happen and people come together.
No, I agree.
Mm.
As you know, I've taken a fairly crazy, brave step of quitting my secure Commonwealth public service job.
I don't think it's that crazy, but
Well, it was inspired by something you said about, I was going to say 6 months ago, it's probably more like 10 months ago now. Mm-hmm. So I had a one-on-one coaching session with Beck when she asked me, well, when are you going to be able to be ready to leave? And I almost got goosebumps and tingles because it was incredibly significant words. I think the exact same words domestic violence crisis service counsellor had said that, asked me that when I was thinking about whether or not to stay in my marriage or not. And it took me about 6 months from that point in my marriage to decide to leave. And I joked with Beck at the time and said, well, I'm still in this job. It's a great job. There's still things I like about it. It's great superannuation. I've got all this international travel. It's very glamorous. I get to meet all these amazing people. Yeah, I'm not happy, but look, that's not important. That's not important. I can deal with not being happy, but, you know, it's all these other amazing things. And I joked, well, maybe in 6 months' time I'll leave. And I did actually leave. And it was almost 6 months to the day. It was like freaky. Do you often have that effect on people?
Maybe not in the way that you describe it, but I think that's the power of asking questions and seeing a coach, really. You know, not a lot of people do it, but when people do, when you seek that help in your life to reach your goals and move forward in whatever way that you want to, getting support helps you do it in a much faster. I know that in my business, whenever I've invested in business coaching or in a course or in a program, it's propelled me so much faster than it would have if I hadn't done that and made that time. And just getting that outside perspective can be so important. And for you, and going back to what we were talking about before, self-worth is so important. And mm-hmm. so when I teach this stuff, I know that it has an impact, because self-worth, when people start to value that, when you start to value your happiness over the security of X, Y, and Z, then you start making decisions that are more aligned with your happiness and trusting that you are going to do amazing things.
Well, yes, I'm trusting that process. I'm putting it out to the universe. I do feel it's deeply meaningful. So thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. No, hopefully about it.
I'm on that path. To finish, I was wondering if perhaps I could ask you to lead us in an abundance meditation. I know a lot of your abundance thinking has really helped me. And when I was on the Goddess Lakshmi course last week, the visualization that we all did together has been something that has really been quite amazing over the last week. I find myself often coming back to that moment, and I didn't expect it to be quite so powerful. So I was just wondering if we could ask you.
Of course. Of course. Let's do a meditation.
Let's
Why not?
Meditation.
I talked about how important it is. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, great. So I just want everyone to take a moment to close their eyes and connect in with the breath. And just allow yourself to arrive here. There's nowhere else you need to be. You're exactly where you need to be right now in this moment. And I want you, as you breathe, to feel into the energy of abundance. What does abundance feel like to you? Can you feel it in your body? Where in your body can you feel abundance? And I want you to allow that feeling to expand throughout the rest of your body, allowing your energy to rise to match that vibration. And as you expand that energy of abundance throughout your body, I want you to then beam it out into the world, sending that energy outwards, filling the room, the building, and beyond. And as you send it out, know that that energy is coming back to you. You are a magnet to receive abundance. Feeling into that energy of giving and receiving. And breathing into that space. allowing yourself to visualize yourself as a magnet for abundance. And allowing that energy to move out and back in with the breath. Breathing out abundance and breathing in abundance. Breathing out and breathing in. Knowing that you are abundant, what goes out comes back to you. Knowing that you can always tap into this feeling. Knowing that this energy that you're sending out is the energy that you're attracting. When you give freely, you can receive freely. And allowing once more that feeling of abundance to expand throughout your entire body. Breathing in and breathing out. And when you're ready, opening your eyes.
I'm feeling abundant already. I don't think it's meant to work that quickly, but I think one of the really significant things about abundance that I got from the abundance workshop I did with you and your mum last week was this concept of flow. It's not just about attracting it in and hoarding it. That's not abundance.
No, it's definitely abundance is the ability to give and receive. We explore the energy of Goddess Lakshmi in that workshop, and to embody her energy is actually to embody the energy of giving.
Mm.
And so when you're doing this process of giving with intention, giving away items or your time and energy with intention, then that is the energy of abundance, because you're then calling that back in, because what you give out, you receive.
Actually, I'm definitely calling it back in a very tangible form. Every time I have a clothes swap, and I just had one 2 days ago, I always get so many more clothes than I give away. It's freaky, and I get some beautiful things. Beck, thank you so much for coming on to this podcast today. It was just such a delight to speak to you in this way and to have you share your wisdom with our listeners.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been so great chatting.
Thank you. And where can my listeners find you?
Yes, so you can find me on Facebook, Beck Cazillo, and you can also find me on Instagram, which is beck.cazillo. And my last name, which is an unusual spelling, is C-U-Z-Z-I-L-L-O.
It's not that unusual. A little bit unusual, but not that unusual.
I think people see the Zs and they get a bit freaked out.
Thank you so much, Beck.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Joyful Frugalista with Serena Bird. She actually likes everybody. And, of course, sound has been by Neil Hadley. And myself, I'm Joseph McGrail Baitup. While I start reviewing the attitude of doing right. You gotta accentuate the positive feeling, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between.